Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Family by Design. We're glad that you can join us as we continue a message that Pastor Gary Cox gave earlier this year at the Mid-Years Conference in January. And some of you might be wondering, well, the Mid-Years Conference, why would that be in January? Well, actually, we follow the typical school year from around basically the beginning of September through August. So we have a main conference the end of the school year in August, and we have our Mid-Years Conference in January. Gary began a message talking to parents about raising their kids and perspective of God's sovereignty, his overall guidance and direction for your kids that you have a part in playing, and teaching your kids to look to him as they are learning under your training. Here's Gary with part two of raising kids in light of God's sovereignty.
So I was having my quiet time in this reading of lost what day it was, so I don't remember now. But it just struck me. The Lord delights in you. I think, wait a minute. It's been a long time since I thought of that. The Lord delights in me. It's a thought, isn't it? That little wave of guilt and condemnation that keeps slapping at you. You know, we just slowly, secretly slip away and believe God's not delighted in me. I'm sure I'm a big disappointment to him. But that's his objective. That's his eye. He loves you. He loves me. We're children of his love. And he delights in us. So I've written the little devotional that I had that day. What happens to me is I read one line, actually that's what happened, and then I go and meditate on all these other verses. So this is just one of my meditations that I needed to get some encouragement, some comfort from the Word. But going through it really quickly, there's only three major points. Beulah means you're not forsaken. And there's the statement of the promise for those who trust in the Lord. And then there's three examples of servants of the Lord who weren't forsaken. And what I just used the Hebrew word from the Old Testament and then found all the verses that were similar to it and structured them. The second point on page 5, Lord's judgments preserve his saints forever. That's really a significant part of our spiritual journey. And that's when we're talking about the academic accomplishments and goals that we're setting forth and the Lord sort of adjusting those plans with his plans, ordering our steps. That's what judgment is. If you're superficial in your thought of judgment, you just think that it's, you know, the last day when you stand and you give an account for your good and bad stuff, and that's judgment. No. Judgment is why God let it happen that way to begin with, while you're in the middle of it. The judgment of the Lord, he sovereignly permitted. I always cry whenever I read Genesis, the story of Joseph. When you get into that account where he reveals himself to his brothers, and as the account talks about them weeping, I can't resist. I just break out in tears too, always. Now, I love the statement. You look at the family and you're like, that is like really, that's like really a bad family. They got a lot of problems. Who'd you say these were? Did you say chosen people? And you know, the love of the brothers so embraced Joseph that they carefully put him in a pit so he wouldn't get hurt. and then sent him home kindly with some very nice strangers with lavish camels that could carefully get him back to daddy. I mean, pure, intentional hatred, jealousy, bitterness. And it was a hard lot. We were trying to calculate. I always calculate and I always forget my calculations, but it's over 20 years from the time he gets sent away until the time he gets lifted up and he sees his brothers. And of course, you know what they're doing? They're constantly walking around under the guilt of their sin, unresolved sin. And so, not knowing it was him, or that he knew their language, they were just, when he razzed them a little bit, they just said, "See, the Lord is paying us back." That guilt just comes swooshing back in. And when he reveals himself to his brother, it's this eloquent, tender expression. God intentionally did this for good, to save much people. And he so got it, it was about God. And I want to explain. Your children, if they don't get that lesson while they're in homeschooling, they have been robbed of the lesson of life. Because we have circumstances. Jesus said, and I think it's Matthew 18, it's inevitable that offenses are going to come. There's accountability, woe be by to whom from whom they come, but offenses come. And so the question is, how do I respond to those offenses? How am I going to respond? And if I am without a Savior, if I am without a Heavenly Father, if I am without that sense of God at my right hand and my left hand blessing me. You know, I think Joseph was comforted as a slave when he was appointed over everything the master had. So he was in a position of authority and respect and honor. And I think there was some comfort for Joseph when he was in prison. And he got put in charge of the whole prison to take care of the prisoners. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. And when you and I are walking under the aurora of that blessing, we get into a negative, difficult circumstance, and we immediately remember, well, this is the judgment of the Lord. He's made this choice for me. He's determined to work this thing out for my good. And so I have hope. And I don't look at the human instruments of evil. I look at God. And when you look at God in the middle of a difficult circumstance, you rise above the circumstance. And everybody sees it. That's what real spiritual leadership is. And so, when Joseph got through the other side, there wasn't one shred of bitterness or resentment or regret. He saw the marvelous hand of God preserve. And probably he understood a little better that little vision he was given, that little dream he was given as a child, what God had in store for him. And if you and I miss that in our opportunity of homeschooling, we've really wasted the spiritual heritage, the spiritual privilege, because all we're doing is running them through paces to do well in this world, which is perishing, which isn't going to last forever. And I've always used Joseph as this like comfort and confidence. I don't have to do it the world's way. I don't have to go by the world system to get somewhere. Yeah, it might look weird to a bystander saying, "Well, that was a great dream you had, Joseph. Marvelous, marvelous. You're just shining up there. You know, you've gone from being a son to being a slave. Oh, you've gone from being a slave to being a prisoner. That's great track, great path." But the scoffer, they just look at the outward appearance. And when you are irritated at your kids and you react, you're just a scoffer looking out at the external things and irritated and frustrated that it's there instead of remembering, it's right. There's an eternal work to do. I haven't been on duty. That's why I'm irritated. I haven't been watching. And the little thing that irritates you, when I have it in the expo book, we'll go over it a little bit later, Lord willing, you know, frustration log. What are the things you're getting irritated about? Write it down. This is like great talking stuff between mom and dad. What is bugging us about our kids? And evaluate and look and understand. Because you're on duty and you're at a privileged place. And you can move back all the way to the zero point and be objective. And plan and institute and order your steps in a way that accommodates and even practice those things in terms of accommodating. Well, see, I want to go backwards. Beulah, not forsaken. I'll finish this up here. I forgot. I didn't get all the way through. The Lord's judgments preserve his saints forever. There's the judgment of the sinner. God's judgment is you're not going to prosper in your own sin, but I've made a covering for your sin. Will you receive it? To the poor and needy. It's not about struggling to get to the top of the heap on your own effort. It's about trusting and serving the Lord and resting in him to provide for your need. And the next passage, the forsaken. That's a really tough one, forsaken. When you have kids going through circumstances, and we've been through boy-girl issues a few times. And, you know, our original plan was no mistakes. We blew it with the first step out of the race pit. But human relationships are fraught with pain of rejection. And young people, our kids, they mess up in the process of going through those paces, as it were. And they feel things, do things, and what have you. And early mistake we had in terms of a goal was to prevent any pain, prevent any hurt. I realized, well, that was dumb. It's not something that we can cover that base. It's going to happen. And it has happened. Instead, you walk in humility, you walk in grace, and you try to get through the circumstance that you're in and try to shift out from the broken spirit to a spirit restored under Jesus. And I don't think I need to mention a name here, but I had a daughter. Well, I still have her. We had a situation where she was in a courtship, and it ended with her being forsaken and rejected, and she was so hurt. But she wasn't just hurt, she's a Cox. So she was angry hurt. You know, she was like, "You've transgressed. Well, I'm going to make sure you fix it right." And it was a tough process. And I remember the day, though, that she came. Breakthrough joy. Freshness of heart. Realizing, you know, Daddy, I finally see what you've been trying to tell me the whole time. I haven't really trusted the Lord. I've been so anxious about this thing, this friendship, this relationship, that I haven't trusted the Lord. But I see that. And there was this clear-hearted discernment. Wonderful, refreshing repentance. And she was, and we was, restored. It was precious. And yeah, it takes a while to get there. You got to go through the process. You just can't have the edict of Milan. All right, children, we are all going to do this thing perfectly. Emphasizing the P on the perfectly. Just walk humbly, repent, go on, go to the next step. You shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall your land any more be termed desolate. That's such a needy, needy exhortation to our spirits. So needy. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in thee, and you shall be married. Hephzibah means delight, Beulah means married. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You shall be called sought out, not forsaken, sought out, a city not forsaken. That's our heritage. The time that we need that, you know, peer pressure is tough often, and we want acceptance, we want to be thought of well and spoken of well, and we're tempted to pursue it. We do pursue it, and we blow it. But when we get it right, when we realize, you know what, God loves me, I'm already sought out, I'm already beloved. He's already, you know, why are we called the bride of Christ? We're already picked. We're already picked, you know. We're called, you're there. And we can have this emotional release. And it says holy, and I know that most of us, at least people like me, don't understand holiness. When we say we're holy, all it simply means focused fully on God's purpose in all things and relaxed in that purpose. So whatever it is, I'm seeing the heavenly and I'm not torn apart by the temporal. That's all holy means. It's about the Lord. It's not about me. The redeemed of the Lord. That's what God wants. God wants you and I out there, not being perfect, but being examples of redemption. And you know what? I'll tell you the truth. When you walk as a redeemed one, people will seek you out because everybody needs redeemed. Did you ever wonder? You ever wonder why Jesus was so attractive to the crowds? The sense of redemption was thick in his presence. That sense of welcoming, invitation. And the sinners came after him with a passion. And the proud, well, they wrote their own script. They wrote their own condemnation. They didn't believe they had need of salvation. So they went on in their own strength. Object of delight. So that's who we are. The object of delight. Read a couple of these verses here. I love these. He brought me also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted him. I put those in there for contrast. Of course, they're the same words, but the mockers don't get it. And we can't allow mockers to undercut us. They'll take us away from that spirit and that sense of delight. The Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Did you ever think about that? You got this horrible streak of bad luck that you're dealing with. And then you read that verse and say, the Lord delights in the way he's bringing me. He's so excited. He's got something up his sleeve. You have no idea. He just wants you to walk through it faithfully, trusting him. Not turning to the right or the left, just walking down the path. Saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why? Why should you die, O house of Israel? The Lord delights in mercy. So our qualification is our need. And the greater our need, greater the glory as he changes us, cleans us up, makes us into the image of his dear Son. Let me see. We always hear this talk about legalism in our homes. You don't ever have to worry about legalism if you walk as a sinner. If you maintain that simple identity, I am a needy sinner, then I'm hungry. I still remember. It's still true of me. I mean, that's how I study the Bible now. I still remember the hunger to listen to God's word and opening my understanding. What are you talking about, Lord? What is it? What is it? Personal, private, transformational, inward. The Spirit of God, the Word of God. Life. Life from the dead. I delight to do thy will. Oh my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So here it is. We're on duty. You can't be on duty in these matters if you're not first already part of the family, walking in humility, getting your self transformed and changed. And I'm thankful. You know, I hear this often. I've said it myself. Oh, why do my kids just pick up my bad faults? Wish they could pick up some of my good stuff. Of course, whoever said that was good. I mean, that's your judgment anyway. But think of it in another way. How kind of God to not give us trick questions that we know nothing about. I'm serious. How are we going to what? Teach from our experiences if they're on another planet with different experiences. I mean, they already think they're on another planet as it is in some respects. They come close to it. Isn't it kind? So, figure it out. Walk in humility. Pass it on. That's our life. That's our heritage. That's all the Lord. Sinner, trust in all the judgments of the Lord. This is so cool. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, that's your opinion. I don't agree with you. That's not what I think. You know, as soon as you're there, you're in the wrong planet. You're on Earth, Scofferville, trying to satisfy temporal mindsets. No. The sinner who needs the help of a Savior, he is so set on trusting in the judgments of the Lord. So this was, how many times does the believer say, this wasn't what I had in mind, wasn't what I would have chosen, but it's what God ordered for me. I'm so thankful. I'm so blessed. To him be all the glory. And you'll never get where you thought you were going, because that's not where God was going with you in the first place. is going somewhere else to get a greater glory. Just remember this. Okay, so like, Joseph's family weren't very adventuresome in their creativity. So when Joseph said, I saw you guys all like bowing down to me, it's like flatlined. I think you're better than we are. You know, it was so carnal, so temporal. Well, then there was a day when they were bowing down, and it was like, oh, such a different story. And it's at that place that we suddenly realize, oh, I'm at the place I could never have been at without the hand of God. Now, Joseph, how many minutes does the video take? Did you say 25? 25? 45? 45? Ah, I thought you said it was 24 minutes. I'm way over. I'm so sorry. I've been just trying to kill time. All right, so we'll talk more later. Okay, transfer this thing out. So, Joseph, get your technician up here to set up the video. And while that is going on, I'll just transition a little bit. I want us to understand that God has so blessed us in Maryland, at least in my world. He's so blessed us to have tools that help us structure and organize and represent. The scripture says that we're to sanctify the Lord always in our heart, 1 Peter 3, and be ready to give an answer. And that's really what this whole process of planning your curriculum, participating in Expo, and turning in your reports, and graduating and getting a diploma, all of that's a part of that simple process whereby we're recognizing that I have this vision, and I want to pass it on to my children. And, you know, I'm making that choice. I'm sanctifying. You know what the word sanctify means? It's connected to holy. It means to set yourself apart deliberately for the purpose that God has for you. And the scripture says if we're Christians, you have no other choice. We're bought with a price, so we have no object except to glorify God in the deeds of our body. We have no other legitimate claim to fame.
Well, we've just been listening to Gary Cox finish a message that he gave at the Midyears Teacher Conference here at WCF Church, sponsored by Walkersville Christian Family Schools. Hope you've been encouraged by what you've heard today as you take what Gary's spoken about today and consider how you can apply it to your own family, whether or not you're homeschooling or not. Truths that apply certainly no matter where you are at in your life if you have children. If you'd like to hear the whole message, you can go to WTHU.org, the audio vault on that website, and find the Family by Design page. All of our previously recorded broadcasts are there, including this one. If you'd like to give us feedback on anything that you've heard, if you have questions or just have some ideas about what you'd like to hear talked about here at Family by Design, you can email us at radio@wcfs.edu. Next week, we're going to hear from one of our favorite folks at WCFS, Becky Wyand. She's going to be talking about responding to others in situations that might cause us to be a little upset in God's love. Join us next week as we continue to treasure God's design for your family.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
'Cause the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.